11, 10, 9, ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, all engine running. Liftoff, we have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
Hey folks, it's Monday, April 27th, 2015, and you are listening to episode 12 of the Beyond the Handle podcast. I'm your host, Alan, also known as @Slip on Twitter. That's Slip with five eyes, or say it with me, Slip. Today I'm speaking with Louise Valcourt, also known as @EnchantedParlor on Twitter. That's @EnchantedPLR on Twitter. You can also find her blog. It's enchantedparlor.blogspot.ca, and you can find her on YouTube. She runs a YouTube channel, and it's also called The Enchanted Parlor. If you do a search on YouTube, you'll find her there. Her blog and her YouTube channel are about tarot, metaphysics, spirituality, the gothic subculture, and anything else that interests her. We had a great conversation about all of those topics, and Lou was kind enough to do a tarot reading, both for me, but as well, we decided to look ahead and see what the cards said for next year's Winnipeg Jets season. So stick around for that. It was a great conversation, and I think you'll enjoy it. Last week's episode 12, featuring Mitch Kasprick, was also a great episode of Beyond the Handle. You should go back and check it out as well. You should also check out Mitch's podcast, Winnipeg Hockey Talk. You can find it on iTunes or over at the Garbage Hill Network. It's a great listen, and I would recommend checking it out. So thank you to Mitch for joining me last week. So, with all that being said, Louise Valcourt is with me today on Beyond the Handle. Let's go and check it out. All right, folks, this is episode 12 of the Beyond the Handle podcast, and I've got another great guest in the studio with me. Today I have Louise Valcourt, who I've known for many, many years because we work together, and we've worked together for over a decade. On Twitter, she is known as Enchanted Parlor, Enchanted PLR, and she is also on a number of other platforms, which we're going to talk about over the course of the show today. So welcome, Lou.
Thanks very much, Alan.
How are you doing?
Great. Great to be here.
Was it a fun day today at work?
Yes, it was,
actually. Before we get in depth into the interview, the very first question I ask people on this podcast is, Enchanted Parlor, what is the meaning behind the handle?
Well, I actually started out with a blog called The Neo-Victorian Parlor. I started out in 2010 writing about steampunk and about sort of the gothic subculture. And I would start off writing a lot of sort of strange history about the Victorians, things like why they had strange fashions like corsets and the damage that they did to people and all sorts of stuff like that. But then I would also talk about personal things as well. And so kind of the blog developed, and it became more about some of my other interests, which include, we'll get into tarot cards and astrology and all that kind of stuff. And so it kind of developed and changed, and suddenly it didn't really, the name didn't really fit anymore. So I thought, well, what's going to fit and something that can kind of transition, into a new blog and into my YouTube channel. And so I was thinking of something that kind of had a resonance with magic, but I still kind of wanted to keep the parlor thing because I love the idea of people sitting around together and discussing things and sort of that friendly atmosphere. And I came up with The Enchanted Parlor.
Okay.
And people seem to really like it. And so I kept it. Unfortunately, though, Twitter does not let you put Enchanted Parlor because it's too long. So thus The Enchanted PLR.
How many years have you been Enchanted Parlor now?
A year, I would say.
A year?
Yeah.
Okay. And before that, you were still doing the YouTube thing before that?
Yes, yeah. Okay. Before that, it was called Neo-Victorian Parlor. Mm-hmm. I changed over the name. I just changed it on YouTube. I changed my blog, and I just linked it over. I kept the Neo-Victorian Parlor. If you look it up, you can still find it. You can find out all about Victorian swimsuits made out of wool and all sorts of strange things like that. Those are some of the more popular posts.
Mm-hmm.
But I kept it up so people could still enjoy it. But my last entry has that I'm changing it to Enchanted Parlor, and there's a link to my enchantedparlor@blogspot.com.
Okay.
So, yeah.
You were not born in Winnipeg or raised in Winnipeg, correct? You're out of the city a little bit?
Yes. I was raised in LaSalle. LaSalle is, right now, it's a bedroom community. It's got over 1,000 people in it. But when I was a kid, it was not that. It was about 300 people. It's a tiny little French town. And when you're a kid and you don't drive a car, it might as well be 100 miles away. But it's really only about 15 minutes from the city. So,
okay. Yeah. And at what moment was it where it kind of dawned upon you that, you know what, I really dig, I'm ignorant to the whole thing, you're going to have to teach me about it today, but you know what, I really dig the goth culture. I'm assuming it doesn't happen when you're like, I want to be a goth, and then you do it, and you just kind of become it. But how did that evolve?
Well, I think it evolved from, I was always interested in things that were kind of strange and weird, from what other people were interested in, and things that were a little bit darker or a little more mysterious. And that just evolved as a kid. And then when I was a teenager, I really enjoyed, it was the 80s, and I really enjoyed metal music. Hair metal was big at the time, and I really loved it. And I loved that kind of style and dressing in black. And it started off that way. And then as the music kind of changed, especially into the 90s, I started getting into more industrial music. And so it just kind of evolved from there, like one scene into the other. And there is a lot of crossover between the two scenes. And then in the mid-late 90s, I joined a gothic metal band, which kind of puts the two together. And we played places like, you know, Ozzy's in the Zoo and the Pyramid and the Albert, places like that. Wellington's, that's the name. It's no longer exists now, but Wellington's, that was a place we often played. And so it kind of just, like, one thing just kind of evolved into the other. And really, I mean, my clothes were always black, so really not that much changed, you know? So yeah, that's how I got into that scene.
What were the name of some of your bands that you were in?
In the mid-90s, I was in a band called Exalted, and I was in that band until about 2001. And then from 2003 to 2005, I was in a punk band called Plunger. And, yeah, this is a story behind that name, but, and then recently I've been playing with Groit, which is actually a band that's been around for a while. A friend of mine, he just had that project for a while, but, he's had different kind of guest musicians, like, play with him, and so recently I've been with him, and the last show we had was in December where we did Sex Pistol covers, so, yeah.
What do you play?
Or
do
I play guitar.
Do you sing at all?
I do a little bit of backup singing, yeah. If you go to my YouTube site, you will find there is a video of me rocking out with my friend Zlatan, who is part of Groit. So I did put that up there for people's interest.
While you were talking about being into metal, and I should have had this written down as a question before, but tell me about your love of Guns N' Roses.
Oh, yes. I fell in love with Guns N' Roses back in 1987 when they came out, and it was actually before they became super huge. I'm proud to say they were a new band on the LA scene. And I remember seeing like an article in a magazine, this back before the internet and all that stuff. And then I saw a video happened to be played on, what was it? I can't remember. There was on 13MTN. Do you remember there was like a show that played music videos? And me and a friend were trying to remember what the name was. But anyway.
I don't remember that. I mean, I remember like video hits and all that stuff, but not the 13MTN one. Yeah. So if someone out there knows it, let us know at Beyond the Handle.
So yeah, because living in the country, you have three channels to choose from. So I remember seeing them being like, this band is so great. And then a friend lent me the tape cassette back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, this band's so awesome. And then ever since then, I've just really loved and enjoyed it. And, you know, it's kind of this soap opera saga in a way, seeing how they kind of rose to flame and then fell apart and what's gone on since then. And amazingly enough, after all those drugs and party lifestyle, they're all still alive.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They are. Are you into any other metal bands?
I would say they're definitely, you know, close to my heart just because of the, you know, being the young age and stuff that I got into them. I mean, I followed Motley Crue and Metallica through their careers as well. And then I would say sort of on the more industrial end, I enjoyed just a variety of things like Combi Christ. I enjoyed Ministry when they came out. I really enjoyed going to their stuff. Marilyn Manson, of course, when that came out, that was a really big thing. Not so much into his newer stuff, but definitely a soft spot in my heart for the stuff in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So just, you know, various stuff like that. I would say now I'm a little more eclectic in my mix of music. I'll listen to everything from Angel Spit to like Coldplay. So I've kind of expanded my horizons.
What do you think of the portrayal of like goth? Like when people say goth, wearing all black, depressed, you know, like, I don't know if you watch South Park, like the goth kids on South Park, that kind of thing. What do you think of that kind of stereotype?
I think that stereotype's really silly from somebody who's been in the scene for a long time, just because most of the people I know who are into the scene are actually really happy people, really well-adjusted. They're people that just like to express themselves in a certain way and are into, you know, fashion. And I think it's really silly. And then I think once people get to know you, they find out, like, oh, you're not depressed and you're not, you know, into crazy things and you're not violent or anything. I definitely remember back when the whole Columbine thing happened, people reacting in ways where they would actually, like, stand away from you at a bus stop or pull their kids close to them. And it was ridiculous, especially because those kids weren't goth at all. Uh-huh. But fashion does not dictate whether or not you're a good or a bad person. It's just a style of dressing and a style of music. And, you know, it seems silly to me.
So have you had instances where people have been fearful of you, do you think?
Yes, I have had instances, especially when I was younger. And I would say I dressed a little more extreme, like mm-hmm. back in my university days. I remember going to the Mall of America with some of my fellow students and walking and seeing somebody grab their child and pull the child close to them, being like, stay away from those people. I also had actually the Marilyn Manson concert back in 97 mm-hmm. at the Walker Theater. I was sitting outside. There's a small, tiny park right across the street with some friends, and these cars stopped at the light, and this woman leaned out of the truck and yelled at me, "You're destroying Christianity!"
All right.
And as the cars started to moving, like, how do you even respond yeah. to that? The cars start moving, and she looked like she wanted to jump out of the truck at us, and the man that was driving the truck was holding her back by her shirt.
Wow.
And yeah, so I have had people react or just yell stuff out of a car at me. You know, just weird stuff like Hail Satan or just stupid things like that.
You said that you have some interests that might surprise people outside of the golf yes. culture, or maybe there is a high correlation. You tell me. But you have a collection of old school My Little Ponies?
I do. I had, you know, My Little Ponies back in the day in the 80s. I mean, what little girl didn't? And I passed them on to my sister, who didn't care for them. And then my mom ended up giving them away to a little girl next door, which was fine. But then when I got older, I actually started collecting them again. It has to be ponies from the 80s, though. It has to be first generation. It can't be the new ones. They're all fine. But they're actually, I'm not the only goth who has a secret love of My Little Ponies.
Uh-huh.
So it's not that unusual. Also, there's a lot of goths who love Hello Kitty as well. Okay. I'm not a fan of Hello Kitty. It's all fine stuff. But yes, I do have a collection of My Little Ponies. I will look for them on eBay to find one in good condition at a reasonable price. And then I will show it off usually. So if you follow me on Twitter, you might already know about my love of My Little Ponies.
Great.
Yeah.
Do you have any YouTube videos where you yes. show off My Little Ponies?
Yes, I have haul videos every so often where I'll show like what I've bought for the month. And it'll be a mix of things, everything from books about Wicca or tarot card decks that I love to collect, to fashion, to makeup, to if I get a My Little Pony, I'll show it off. And often it gets a good reaction from people.
Good. Of course it would.
Yeah.
Do you name them or do they?
They come with a name.
They come with a name?
They come with a name.
I need to learn about this. I'm not a brony. I don't know if you've heard that term.
Yes.
I probably have. Yeah. No, I'm not a guy that, well, I don't know what it is. I think it's like major obsession with My Little Ponies. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's usually the newer ponies, though, that they tend to be obsessed with. I'm old school ponies.
All right. Yeah. Did your interest in like astrology and tarot and oracle cards, did those come sort of at the same time as you got into the music and the scene, or did that evolve over the course of time?
That, I would say, evolved over the course of time. When I was a kid, I got a book from my godparents for my birthday. It was like a book about all sorts of weird facts, and it was huge. And one of the weird facts was about tarot cards. And I remember looking at it, and I'd always thought, for a weird reason, that playing cards should have five suits and not four. And okay. I remember reading this and going, oh my gosh, like this is what I thought all along. And for those of you that don't know, tarot is older than the 52 playing card deck that we're all familiar with, and it's actually where playing cards come from.
Okay.
They go back to medieval times. Some people think they're older, but the oldest evidence is from the 13th century. And it's a 78 card deck. There are four suits that have numbers from 1 to 10, and then they have four court cards as opposed to the playing decks that have three now.
Okay.
And then there's 22 trumps in the deck, or also called the major arcana. So it says, well, you'll get different art on tarot cards, the system is always the same. And so it's a very ancient form. So I just always thought it was really fascinating. I've always been interested in things like astrology and crystals and angels and all that kind of weird stuff, as people would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are there more uses like for tarot cards than what I think the general public, or at least I would say, like, okay, tarot, you're going to do my tarot reading. But is there other ways to use the cards?
Well, generally, they are used as divination, or, you know, some people would say fortune telling, but you can also use them as sort of a psychological tool to kind of understand yourself better. Some people do use them for meditation. And, I mean, in ancient times, it started off as a game.
Okay.
Like a playing card game. Now, most people would not do that nowadays. And people that usually read cards would say that's kind of disrespectful, because we do see them as a sacred tool.
And how, when did you get into doing this on a more professional level?
That was kind of slowly over time. Like, you know, I started off like most people. I got a deck when I was 20 because I was like, I want to learn this, and I thought it was neat. And you start off reading for family and friends and looking up in the book the meanings, and then after a while, you don't have to do that anymore. And also as you develop your intuition, it becomes where you're not just looking at the meanings of the cards, you're also using it as a tool to activate your intuition. I have been doing tarot parties sort of on the side, I would say, for about 5 years. But in the past year, I've started to just take it a little bit more seriously. I now read on Sundays out of Radiance Gifts on Corydon.
Okay.
So you can make an appointment between 12:30 and 5, and I will, you know, read cards for you. I also do the tarot parties still, and I also have done... Recently, I did a psychic fair out in Altamont, Manitoba.
How did it go?
It went really well. Yeah. It was really great, actually. A lot of local people came out from the area. It's near Miami, Manitoba. It's a beautiful area, lots of nice rolling hills and things. And people came out, and there was also other readers there as well, and some people doing Reiki and selling crystals and that kind of thing. And people seemed really receptive to it. It was great.
Have you had a lot of, you know, people that kind of challenge you on it and go, oh, this is hokey, oh, it's, you know, or are people generally...
People are generally receptive. The people that don't believe in it or think it's hokey aren't going to get a reading. so they generally don't challenge you on it. There are some people who will, you know, you can feel when they sit down, they're somewhat resistant or they're skeptical of it. And then as you get into it, they usually lighten up and are more accepting of it.
And you told me before we started this interview that you actually give yourself readings on a regular basis.
Yes.
So is it out of just curiosity? Do you actually use it to kind of guide decision making or?
Yeah. Okay. I do. I actually have a variety of decks. I collect decks, and not just tarot. There's also decks called oracle cards, which aren't the 78 card system of the tarot, but they're used in the same way in that you are using them as a guide. And so I usually pull a daily card of guidance for the day from a certain deck. I usually have a weekly card, and then I have cards that I pull on the full moon. And what I usually do is do a general reading for myself on the full moon to see what's coming up for this next lunar cycle.
Okay.
And I have a journal. I write it down so I can refer back to it. But it's just to give myself guidance. And a lot of times, because I've been doing this for a long time, it kind of tells me things I already kind of knew, but it's like, okay, this is what's coming, and I need to pay more attention to this. And it just gives me some kind of guidance for the month ahead.
Has there been an example of something where the cards have actually put you in a direction where, like, looking back, you're like, I'm really glad that I did this in advance?
Yeah, you know, sometimes it will tell me that there's an opportunity coming up that you need to go for. Like, just go for it. Don't hesitate on it. Other times it'll tell me, like, there's something kind of sketchy going on. Pay attention to your intuition. And then it falls through and you're like, oh, I was warned about this. So, you know, it just sort of activates, I think, your own inner intuition about things.
Okay. And you started doing the blog when?
The Neo-Victorian Parlor I started doing in 2010, and then I switched over to Enchanted Parlor last year in 2014.
And this is a combination of both, like, a Blogspot site where you're posting, but you also have a YouTube channel.
Yes. Right? I have a YouTube channel. That one I started doing in, I think it was 2012, beginning of 2012 or 2013. And I started off, like, with the Neo-Victorian Parlor name, and now I've switched it to Enchanted Parlor. So it's gone from being sort of more a gothic subculture thing, although I do still talk about that, to being more tarot and spiritual based and talking about Wicca and all that kind of stuff.
So I've seen a couple of things, and these are just recent posts that you had, but you do tarot readings on YouTube.
Yes.
And you also do, there's a presentation that a record store that I really like does every once in a while called What's in My Bag, where they basically have you go through the store and they have like kind of musicians go through it, and then they'll say, okay, let's go through what you've picked out. So I've seen you do a number of those as well, right? Where you're like, okay, here's the goodies from the month that I've picked up.
Yes.
And then there's also a couple where you do a little bit of like, I guess, knowledge dropping on people. Crystals and Getting to Know the Gods were two recent ones.
Yes.
So do you want to give us kind of an idea of, let's say, like, what would you do when you're setting up something like teaching us about the gods?
Well, what I usually do is I'll do some review of journaling I've done, and I'll also do review of some of the books that I have, just to make sure I'm covering all the points, because I think it's easy when you know something, but you can't assume that everybody's going to know what you're talking about. So I try to just kind of do a little bit of writing beforehand and get my thoughts in order of what I'm going to say. And even then, sometimes I'll look back and go, oh, I should have added this, I should have added that. So sometimes you can do a part two as well. And it's great to see people's comments too, because people will add, you know, what they have to say about things. And sometimes I'm inspired by other YouTubers and bloggers. I'll say, you see what they have to say about something, and I either agree or disagree with it, and I'll be like, I should talk about that. That's great, you know? So I found, like, I was doing, I'm kind of sporadically doing a Wicca 101 series, and people have really enjoyed that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, for getting your tarot cards read, if I was to go and do that, now aside from seeing you where I know that things are going to go well, is there anything to look out for in terms of somebody that you would consider to be more legit and serious versus something
trying that's to a take little your more money sketchy?
Or, sketchy. Okay. What's there to look out for?
What I would say is, you know, use your intuition. If you're sitting down with somebody and it doesn't feel quite right, it probably isn't. But also, if someone is advising you to buy something or that you need to spend more money with them, that's a major red flag. Super sketchy. Also, the person should be positive. Even if there's bad news coming up, the way they present it to you should be not scary. They should be just, you know, kind of telling you, listen, I'm warning you about this, because the future is malleable. And what tarot cards do is they tell you, here's the path you're on, and if you keep going in this direction, this is where you're going. But you can change it. That's up to you. So anybody who tries to sell you things or tries to, like, frighten you in some way, that's probably not somebody you should be going to.
Are there any, again, besides yourself, are there any other folks in the city that you really respect in the business?
Yes, I do. I would say there's Trevor. He reads out of Elemental Curiosity Shop that's on Langside just off of Portage. He's an excellent reader. I've gone to him for years. Even though I read cards, I do go to readers sometimes because it's great to get another person's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
There's also Crystal Kernahan. She is a psychic and a medium. She works out of her house in Charleswood, and her business is called Divine Clarity. She's excellent as well. And there's a woman named Margaret. Oh, gosh, I've forgotten her last name. But anyway, she works out of the North End, out of her home. She's another psychic medium that is really great. And I'm sorry that I've forgotten her last name.
That's all right. Yeah. If she's listening, I appreciate it still. Yeah. And again, tweet it beyond the handle and let us know.
Yeah.
Is there a kind of a collective community that comes together from time to time here? Like, kind of like the professional organization of tarot readers, for example?
I should also mention one other person I forgot is Lisa at Radiance as well, also reads cards, and she's excellent too, and I forgot to mention her, but she's wonderful as well. There is a psychic conference that goes on in March called Spirit Seekers. It's at the Fort Garry Hotel, and it's a really great time for everybody to kind of get together. There's classes there taught by all sorts of different people, everything from, you know, life coaches and motivational people to people who are psychics and or channel angels or, you know, whatever it is that their specialty is. So it's a great place to go and learn things. They also have readers there who are raising money usually for cancer care. And you can also buy things as well. So it's a great way for everyone to come together, because I think sometimes people that are interested in this kind of thing, it's not something that people talk about every day. So it's kind of hard to get to know who your community is, although the internet has really helped with that. Like, it's great. There's Facebook groups, there's a YouTube community, and we're all kind of supportive of each other. So, yeah.
All right, let's take a little break from the interview to go through some housekeeping items and give you some information about this show. If you want to find us on Twitter, you can look us up at Beyond the Handle is the handle.
for the show. So definitely give us a follow there. We are on Facebook. Do a search for Beyond the Handle and we will pop right up there for you. If you are not listening to this show via iTunes or Stitcher, you can go to each of those platforms and subscribe to the show. Again, just go in and search for Beyond the Handle. We will pop up there for you. Click on subscribe and the new episodes will download to your device every week as soon as they are posted, which is nice, easy, and convenient. Of course, if you just want to hear a stream of a specific episode, you can also go to beyondthehandle.podomatic.com and you can find the show right there and listen to any episode that you would like to hear. If you'd like to email me and give me some feedback, recommend a guest, or if you'd like to be a guest yourself, I'd love to hear from you. The email address is beyondthehandle@gmail.com. And again, any feedback via Twitter or via email is very much appreciated. We are a part of the Garbage Hill Network of podcasts. This is Winnipeg's first podcast network and features a number of local podcasts from around the city of Winnipeg. You can give them a follow at Garbage Hill on Twitter, and their website is www.garbagehillnetwork.com. So with all that being said, let's get back into the interview. This is Louise Valcourt at EnchantedPLR on Twitter here on Beyond the Handle. You want to do a reading?
Yes, I'd love to do a reading, of course.
So when we were talking about this, as we were discussing coming onto the show, up until today, we'd been talking about that you would give me a reading, but I don't know how many people out there are just like dying to hear about my future, maybe some, but one of our colleagues, Melanie, and I'll give her proper credit, said maybe we should give a reading for the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah,
we have a lot of sports fans that like this show, and it's timely because yesterday the Jets season ended. So let's look forward to next year. That's something that you think you can.
I think so. You know, it's I can't say I've ever read for a sports team before, but let's see what the cards have to say. And I'm going to get you to shuffle, Alan, because you know the Jets better than I do.
Okay.
So think about the Jets and think about what you hope for them next year and what your thoughts are. Just focus on the Jets.
Oh, shuffle. I have so many hopes. I'm not a very good card shuffler, but can I shuffle like a normal deck?
Yeah, you could shuffle.
I can't do the, I'm not good at that.
Yeah, no, it's just however you feel, and just keep shuffling until you kind of feel like you need to stop.
All right. I'm shuffling until we get a winning season. I'm shuffling until we can win a playoff game. I'm shuffling until we trade Andre Pavlik. People aren't going to like that I said that. All right, I just cut it, and I'm feeling good.
Cut it into three piles?
Into three piles?
Yeah.
Okay. One, two, three.
Stack it back up however you like.
All right. I'm going to do it like that, and like that.
Okay, let's see what they have to say.
Is it me that turns them over?
No, it's me.
It's you? Okay.
It's me.
Okay. All right.
All right. So the first card that we have is the Three of Pentacles. I should mention that the four minor suits in a deck are Swords, Cups, Wands, and Pentacles, and they relate to our, you know, modern spades, clubs, cups, and diamonds. So anyway, we've got the Three of Pentacles here, which is the card of the hard worker. So expect for the first part of the season that the Jets will be working really hard on getting their act together and doing better
okay.
with things. So they'll definitely be hardworking. They'll be practicing. They'll really be focused on things. So I think people will be pleased definitely with the start of the season.
Okay, it's a hard worker card, so we'll call that a Mark Stewart card for
okay.
Jets fans. Yeah, because he's a very hard worker, and he needs to be because it's about... That's what he's good at. Let's just say that.
Okay.
Okay.
So when we get into the mid, later into the season, what we have is the Hangman, which is one of the trump or major arcana cards.
Okay.
And the Hangman is all about stepping back and watching things happen. It's about not taking a lot of action with things. So I think it's a very much, for a sports team, I think that probably means very steady as she goes, like not a lot of winnings, not a lot of losses, very steady. I think, too, it also it has to relate with sacrifice, so they may have to trade some players that some people may disagree with in order to make some beneficial moves in some ways.
When you talk about just kind of sitting back and letting things happen, you're describing our general manager up until this past year, who has received from some praise and from some criticism for
observing and doing a lot of that. But this past season, he was forced into action in the last 2 months of the year. And so it could very well happen again. I could see that happening
again. That makes more sense now. Because, I mean, a sports team, they can't just sit back and do nothing, right? Yeah. So that makes sense. But I also think, too, it'll be pretty steady. But I do see some sacrifices having to be made, some changes that maybe some people won't like.
Okay.
It looks like for the end of the season, for playoff, I do see, we have here the Page of Cups. Pages don't exist in our modern playing deck. They're like an extra that maybe people won't recognize. But Page of Cups is a young person that is enthusiastic, somebody that has good intuition, that really goes for things, but is not overly aggressive. So I think they might get themselves a player who is, you know, they're not like a big brute or anything, but they're very good at what they do as far as getting goals and things, and they're someone that's going to move the team forward. Now,
his name is Nick Ehlers, so you know. His name is Nick Ehlers. He's going to play for the team very likely next year.
Well, it looks like he's somebody that people are really going to be focusing on and is going to be doing really, really well. I'm going to pull one more card because this doesn't really tell me whether they're going to make playoffs or not. It just shows me that there's a person here. If they do, they'll have to work really hard for it. They have Seven of Wands here, which is stiff competition. Seven of Wands is when somebody's jealous of you or when you feel like you're on the attack, that maybe they don't have quite enough points to get there or they're really, really close. So they're going to have to work really hard if they want to get in the playoffs this next year, and they're really going to feel the pressure of it. I'm pulling one more card because I really want to see what happens here. Uh-huh. We have the Two of Swords, but it's reversed, meaning that they're going to have to make some decisions of some kind if they really want to make the playoffs. So it's possible, but they're going to have to work their butts to get it.
It's going
to
be a rough season.
Yeah, it's going to be a bit of a rough season for sure. I also see here, I always look at the card underneath on the bottom of the deck for some extra info. We have the Queen of Pentacles, and she's reversed. And the Queen of Pentacles is somebody that will say anything for money, that will tell people what they want to hear. So I think that I'm not sure how that relates exactly to the sports team, but it might be sort of I guess maybe there's a little bit of telling people sort of what they want to hear to get them in the seats and to get money, you could say. But it looks like, you know, there's definitely a possibility of them getting into the playoffs, but they have to work really hard for it. But this young guy, he's going to be real key to any successes that they have.
Okay. That's good to hear. So let's see if I can summarize this properly here. I've got this one. This first one here. Remind me again.
It's hardworking.
Okay, so we're going to work really hard. So we're going to have a good start to the season. Yeah. We're going to put 110%
in. Yeah, it's going to start off well.
And things are going to start off well. Then we're going to start to coast a little bit. Things are going to kind of flatten out.
Yep.
And in order to make change, we're going to have to make maybe an unpopular decision with our personnel. Yeah. Okay? The third one.
That's Page of Cups. That's the young guy that's not like a brute or anything, but he's definitely somebody that's like an upstart, very, very talented, somebody that could definitely get things done.
So Nick Ehlers is going to have a very good rookie season, and that's going to be impactful to a certain extent, but we still might have to make those unpopular decisions. Then we get into unpopular?
Yeah. Well, this is playoff. It's just Seven of Wands, which is about, you know, feeling a little bit on the attack or you're having to defend yourself, feeling like you have to, you know, kind of really work hard to get where you want to go. It's possible and you can do it, but you got to work hard to do it.
We're in the toughest division in hockey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And in fact, I don't know if it has anything to do with the seven there, but there are seven teams in our division.
Oh, okay. Hey, look at that.
Four of them placed better than us this year. We were the fifth place team, but still managed to make the playoffs. But the two teams we were ahead of could very well be back in the hunt again next year. So I could see that. Very fierce competition. And then when it's all said and done...
One way or the other. Two of Swords reverse means balance and having to make, you know, some tough decisions. So it's possible, but they got a tough road ahead.
Now, the other thing that this could actually... I've asked about the season itself. I don't know if now I can all of a sudden just magically say, well, what about, does this also apply if I said to the off season, or we have to do it like...
We'd have to do a different one. Because when you were asking the question, you were thinking of something different. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to, if you want to know about that, we'll have to shuffle the cards again.
Well, we'll move from the Jets one. Maybe I will do one for me if you're good at...
Sure.
All great news, I'm sure.
Yep.
All right, I'm going to shuffle again, so everybody, you're going to learn my future now, and I'm going to learn it too. Hopefully this works out better than the Jets' future. I like, you know what? I can see that you're a pro, though. I can see that you're a pro, because I'm Mr. Pessimist, and so I'm going to be like, oh, doesn't look like playoffs, but you're like, oh, you know, if this happens, because it's based on the path that they're on.
Yes.
Correct?
Yeah.
So you could read this. If Kevin Cheveldayoff, who's our general manager, is listening to this, he can listen to that and go, I can change my path.
Yes.
I have the power to make change, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
So let's see what my path is. So again,
three piles.
Three piles.
And then stack it back up however you like. Also, just as a side note, I know almost nothing about hockey. So I'm just telling you what the cards are saying.
We're going to have to play this again in a year and see what happens.
Yeah, maybe I'll know. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So she's laying cards out right now.
This is what's called the Celtic Cross. It's a traditional spread for giving you a general card reading.
So now you're laying out, you've laid out probably close to a dozen cards on the table. And again, it's in a pattern.
Yeah.
So just before you get into that part, when you did the Jets reading, you just did one card at a time for five of them in a row. So why is it different?
I like to look at the overall pattern for this. I like to kind of see if there's certain numbers that are coming up frequently, if there's certain suits that are coming up frequently, because all those things mean things. So I like to kind of look, first of all, at a general overall pattern. And, you know, you can probably Google what a Celtic cross looks like, but basically there are a pattern of five in the middle.
Okay.
In a cross shape, and then there's one card that's over the middle one. So there's six in the middle, and then there is four on the side. And then I pull out three more cards for the 3 months ahead that you have coming up.
Okay.
Just to kind of see a little bit farther into the future.
Sounds good to
me. So you are definitely somebody who works real hard at things, and you have a lot on your plate right now. You've been very busy, and you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed with things, and almost feeling like we have the Nine of Wands reversed here, I should say, because I'm seeing it, but you guys obviously can't see it. But it's Nine of Wands reversed is when you've been working really, really hard on stuff. Things have been going, but you're feeling really exhausted at this point. And there's sometimes you wonder if you should give up or if you should keep going. And so it's saying you're feeling a little bit exhausted by things.
Okay.
The card that goes across the middle one shows what your challenge is right now. And right now it's showing that there is a partnership of some kind that's been a little bit challenging for you. There's someone that you sometimes are challenged either working with, or it could even be a personal relationship where there's a little bit of friction there. It's something that can be fixed, but there has to be communication. There has to be clear communication and talking with each other in order to fix it. It's not a huge rift. It's relatively minor, but it can be fixed.
Okay.
And it's something that actually you've been worried about. It's showing on your mind that you've been thinking a lot about it and you've been worrying about it. And subconsciously, you've actually been going over in your mind, because this shows me, there's a card underneath that shows me the subconscious, and here we have the Five of Wands, and then over top it shows me what's on the person's mind, and we have the Nine of Swords reversed. And the Nine of Swords is about worry, and the Five of Wands is about competitive or arguments or competition of some kind. But it's competition that something fruitful will come out of. It's competition that brings up new ideas, so not to be afraid of those things. It also sometimes stands for times where all these little things are going wrong, or little things are breaking on us, and it just frustrates us. And so subconsciously, I see that you've kind of been mulling over this whole situation in your mind, even though you maybe not have spoken to the person or acted on it yet.
Just to clarify something, is it a conflict that has to be with a person, or can it be with, let's say, a life decision?
Yes.
It can be a life. Okay.
Yeah, because it just shows me that you're in conflict with something, and that something's bothering you.
Okay.
Yeah. You actually...
And I say that just because I get along with everybody. What are you talking about?
Yeah, no, I know. But, you know, sometimes we all have those things where we are upset about something, but the other person has no idea.
Yeah.
And we go over these little arguments in our mind, but we may never actually express it to that person. And it shows me... So sometimes when it shows up in the subconscious sort of area, it shows that maybe that person's thinking about that thing a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. This shows me the recent past. I have here the Four of Swords reversed, which can mean, this is the card we were talking about earlier, where it says, if you don't rest, you might get a little bit sick. And so it's showing that you needed to take rest time, but you didn't, and you needed that rest. And I think that's why you're feeling kind of exhausted right now and kind of a little bit overwhelmed.
Question for you.
Yeah.
Because you've mentioned, like, you know, some cards are reversed and some aren't. So I'm assuming when you say reversed, you mean that the card is upside down facing you?
Yes.
And so what when it's reversed, what happens with the card?
Well, all the cards have meanings, and sometimes they have more than one meaning, so you have to use your intuition with it. But there's right-side-up meanings, and there's upside-down meanings. And when it's upside-down, that either means that it's, in some cases, it's opposite of what it is right-side-up, but in other side, it means, times it means it accentuates what the right-side-up meaning is. So you have to kind of know which it is.
Okay.
When you're talking to people. So the four, right, what I'm seeing for you is that you needed rest, but you didn't take it, and you should have.
So I got to take vacation.
You got to take some time. You got to rest, take some vacation time.
That sounds good to me.
Okay. That's good. you know what? If you do take vacation time, things are going to go well. This shows me the near future. Here we have the Four of Cups reversed. And that's all about feeling like you're getting your energy back. Feeling like, you know, you were sort of upset and disengaged before, but now you feel engaged again. You feel enthusiastic about things. And I think it happens once you make a decision. There's another card here that shows me how you're feeling for the next while. And we have the King of Swords reversed. And the King of Swords is all about making clear decisions. But it says not to focus on the negative, to focus on the positive. And it is showing me with this card here that you are doing that. Once you make a decision, you're going to feel a lot more enthusiastic about things. And what I really get a sense of is once you let something go that isn't serving you anymore, you're going to feel a lot better. You're going to feel like, you know what? I've got my mojo back. I know what I'm doing. You're just feeling so much better about things. There is something that's going to happen in the next 2 weeks that spurs you to make this decision. There's going to be, I hate to say this, I'm sorry, there's going to be a shakeup. There's going to be a little bit of bad news, but...
I'm just looking at the date. So stay tuned for the like the May 10th edition of Beyond the Handle.
We'll see
if I'm still here.
About 2-3 weeks, so not like within a month.
Yeah.
There's something that it shakes you up and you go, you know what, I have to make a decision about things. So there's nothing you have to do right now, but when the thing, you'll know when it happens. We have the Tower reversed, and the Tower is one of those cards that people go, oh my God, the Tower, they get scared, but you shouldn't be. The Tower is about those shakeups, those sudden things that happen out of the blue that make us reassess things. And there's nothing you can really do to kind of change it. It's going to happen because it's coming. It's in a position that shows me something that's coming from the outside.
Without getting into a ton of detail, as soon as you said that, there are two things that have rushed into my head, so
okay.
I may be coming to you when one of two things happens and be like, all right.
Yeah, but it's you know what, it needs to happen. It's something that has to happen in order for things to change. And once that thing happens, that you'll be able to make that decision and your enthusiasm will come back. You're really hoping for that because it's showing me that because you've been feeling really drained with things and worried about things, you're really hoping to turn some of the disappointments that you've had around. There's a card here that shows me hopes and fears. And it doesn't mean what's going to happen, but it just shows me what the person's hoping for or fearing.
Okay.
And we have the Five of Cups reversed, which is about, when the Five of Cups is right side up, it's about disappointment and loss and feeling disappointed in someone. But when it's reversed, it means that you're moving on, that you're picking up the pieces, you're saying, you know, and it doesn't necessarily mean disappointed in person. It could be disappointed in a situation, but you're saying, you know what, I'm moving on. Things are, you know, it's not like that anymore. And that's what you're hoping for. You're hoping to get that enthusiasm back. I do see that you are going to have to be patient with any projects that you're working on to see long-term results, but you're feeling a little bit impatient with things at times. I mean, who doesn't, right? But it does show me that there is a project you've been working on for a long time that's going to start to come to fruition in about a month. You're going to start to see some results. It's not going to be the final end product of where you want to be, but you are going to see some results, and you're going to make some little adjustments with it to kind of fine-tune it for the future. So I do see some good news coming. It's either work or money related, or like a project that you've been working on of some kind. It's definitely, it's not relationship or anything like that.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's in about a month from now that I'm seeing that.
All right. I'm looking at the date again. All right.
Yeah. Mark that down.
Yeah.
We do have as well, I've pulled out 3 cards for the next 3 months. So I'm looking ahead to May, June, and then into July, August.
Okay.
It's really telling me in May to make sure you're taking care of yourself. Make sure that you are making time for yourself and what you like to do. Because we have the Empress here reversed. And the Empress, when she's right side up, is all about creativity and abundance. Fertility. It's also about, you know, just abundance and prosperity in our lives. But when it's reversed, it means that we're so worried about other people or so busy, we forget to take care of ourselves. Okay. And so make sure you're taking care of yourself. And this theme has come up, like take vacation time, take time to rest, take time to do stuff you like, because that's going to make you feel a lot more enthusiastic.
Okay.
If you're planning a trip in June, things may go not quite as expected. It doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It just means there's going to be some delays of some kind, or you'll have to adjust things a little bit.
I am taking a trip in June, Lou, and awesome. I'm going to a festival where they're in Vancouver. So now I'm thinking rain, flight delays. Okay, I'll keep you posted. Okay. I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, it's the sun reverse. The sun is all about joy, vacation, harmony. It's all about wonderful good news. And when it's reversed, it doesn't mean like, oh no, terrible things. It just means that things are going to happen not quite in the way you expect them to. There might be minor delays. It'll still be a good time, but just expect that.
So I should still step on the airplane?
You should still step on the airplane. Good. For sure. For sure. And then for July, August, we do have here the Page of Swords, which is a court card, which can stand for a situation or for a person. And when it's a person, what it means is a younger person that can sometimes cause trouble sometimes and stir things up a bit, but they also ask important questions and get us to think about things a little bit differently. So it may be saying there's someone coming into your life at that point who stirs things up and maybe annoys you a little bit, but they're also somebody that spurs your creativity.
Okay.
And then for situationally, it means there's news coming towards you that shakes you up a little bit, and not in a bad way, but just kind of gets you to reassess things and re-question things. So there's some news coming towards you July, August. I think it has to do with this project that you're working on that's going to make you not totally change things, but just kind of, again, rework things a little bit towards where you want to be. So just be aware of that. Also, if you hear any strange rumors or anything, question them, because somebody might be trying to cause a little bit of trouble.
So I'm going to get shaken up a lot in the next four months.
Yeah, but you know what? It's for the best. You've been working really hard, and what you've been doing right now isn't really working for you, and so those changes need to happen in order to kind of get yourself back on track. So like I said, just to kind of recap things a little bit, is that for the next couple of weeks, there's something going to happen from the outside, unexpected. It's a shake-up, but it's going to cause you to make a decision, and you're going to feel a lot better about things after. So even though it might seem a little bit upsetting at the time, it actually makes things better for you. And then I see in about a month, you reassessing things with this project a little bit, but you will have some good news that means that your patience has paid off. And then take care of yourself in May as well. Make sure you're getting rest and taking care of yourself. June, go to your thing. Uh-huh. But just be prepared for delays. And then July, August, again, there's going to be some readjusting with this project a little bit. And don't be surprised if you come across somebody that's stirring up trouble or something. Mm-hmm. But you know what? It kind of is good in the long run. They're kind of causing you to think about things a little bit differently. I also see, too, I looked at the card underneath. We have the Ace of Wands reversed.
Okay.
Ace of Wands is all about enthusiasm, energy, inspiration. And when it's reversed, it means that we're feeling a little bit drained with things. So again, it's telling you, you need to rest. So sometimes, different cards will keep confirming the same message. Like, you need to rest. You need to make sure that you're replenishing yourself and doing things you love. Because otherwise, if you're just giving all the time, you're going to get depleted.
Okay.
All right. And then I'll get you to do one more thing I always do with readings.
Sure.
I find tarot is very good at sort of the day-to-day and the mundane. But I always get people to pull card from an oracle deck, and today I brought the Angel Prayers Oracle deck by Kyle Gray.
Okay.
It's an angel deck. Oracle card decks, like I said, are a little bit different than tarot. They can have any numbers of cards in them. They're pretty free form. That's up to the artist and to the inventor. So I will get you to shuffle these, and they give a little bit more sort of spiritual general sort of guidance.
Do I only get one?
You know what? Maybe this we'll pull one? Three. We'll pull three.
Three? Okay. Yeah.
So I'll get you to shuffle
one
those.
Card. That's like a very important card.
Yeah. Maybe that's a little too much pressure.
I can handle it, though I'm tired. So
maybe see, the, maybe rest. The card will, you need to rest. Yeah, it's saying.
That's right. Maybe maybe the card will be my shakeup. We'll see. All right. Sorry, I'm very bad at shuffling cards.
That's okay. You know what? With these ones, I'm going to get you to kind of fan them and pull three out.
Oh, okay. There's one. There's two. I'll just take this last one as three.
Okay.
All right.
So we have here study and learning. We have spiritual support. And we have healthy choices.
Okay.
Yeah. So what this is telling me for the next 3 months or so, Study and learning are going to be very important to you. So if there's anything you're thinking of learning more about, whether it's an actual official course or just reading up more on something, you're definitely being guided to do that. That's really going to support you, especially in this project here that you're working on. It's definitely going to be a boon to you. So the angels are definitely, and guides, whatever your spiritual support system is behind you on that one.
Okay.
And it says spiritual support here. You have a lot of people on the other side who are helping you and guiding you towards your goals. So you can ask for help from the spiritual realms and they will try to give you signs to help you out. So it's there and available to you. And then we have healthy choices. And again, with this whole reading about taking care of yourself, sure, you're taking care of yourself, you know? And to me, it's like, I don't see anything, any big, like, health things or anything coming up. I just see if you're feeling drained and stuff, make sure you're eating, like, good food, you're getting exercise, you're getting lots of rest, like, all the basic stuff we're told all the time.
Okay.
But just, you know, doing those things. If there's something you've been thinking about doing health-wise, like an exercise thing or something, it's definitely pushing you towards that.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what I see.
So now, I have a couple of questions about this.
Yeah.
And I'll be totally honest as I kind of work through the process. So when you started through the tarot piece,
yes,
like the first couple of cards, it was hard for me to think of a situation that immediately sprung to mind.
Yeah,
and then, as I said, there was a couple that ended up coming to mind. And as you weave the way through the path, you know, there's something in my head that becomes more clear. Let's just say, okay,
yeah.
And then certainly with the oracle cards, it's kind of the same thing, like reaffirming a couple of things that I have on my mind. Okay. So now I'm assuming that the tarot reading is not bleak or anything, but it's definitely like, okay, shit's going to happen, you know, and you got to be prepared for it, right? Yeah. Is this something where, again, it's not inevitable?
No, I mean, it's all the things that I'm saying to you. I mean, the future is malleable. Mm-hmm. It's just saying, this is the path you're going on. Yeah. And if you don't change things, this is where you're going to go. And I think that's why also tarot kind of tells things like, you need to rest, you need to do this, because it's saying, here's what you need to do to put yourself in a better position. I think that there are sometimes situations where there's nothing we can do. There are certain things that are fated, but most things in life are not. And you can choose, you can also choose how you react to things. I mean, you know, if you're, I don't know, I'm trying to think of an extreme example here. You know, maybe you do nothing and your house catches on fire, but how you react to it, you know, can change whether, you know, it becomes a change in your life or it becomes like a devastating thing.
Okay.
And so, you know, it's all about how you react to things. And what I'm really seeing from these is that it's telling you, you need to take care of yourself and that when shit does happen, it's for the best and you need to react to it well. So that's why I get from this. And you know what? It's not unusual to start out and be like, I'm not really sure. But then as the story unfolds with the tarot, it's to become clearer, like, okay, it's talking to me about this.
It's not that I'm sitting here like, oh my God, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
What's going to happen? But I think it's more so the idea of what's inevitable versus what you can, what you can control.
Yeah.
I have to ask you about, reactions that you get when doing this. Do you get very strong reactions sometimes when you do readings with people? Like either anger, sadness, like fear, anything like that?
No, I wouldn't say people have strong reactions other than, like, I've had people, like, go, oh my God, how did you know that? And, you know, like, stuff like that. I've had people, one time, this woman I read for, she didn't really say too much. And, you know, I tell her, you know, whatever I'm seeing here. But she went over to, it was actually at the psychic fair, she went over to her mother and she said, she's really good and got her mother to come back and give a reading. So get a reading. So, cause the mother was kind of standing there kind of skeptical and stuff. So, you know, I've had reactions like that that have been strong, but I've never had anybody get angry with me. I've never had anybody, you know.
And not as much with you, just about like what you've seen. It's like, holy shit.
No, because I think sometimes when big stuff is coming, big changes, we sense it. Like we kind of intuitively know. Like I don't think I've ever shocked anyone with anything I've said. Like, I mean, when I told you about the big change that's coming up, the thing that's going to kind of knock you for a little bit of loop, you already kind of had a couple ideas in your mind of, I think I know what this is. So I think it activates our intuition. Like it says, it's another way to look at what's going on in our life, to look at it a little bit differently, to kind of see what path we're on. So I've never had anybody become really scared or anything. And I don't think you should be scared because it's telling you kind of what you need to do to move forward. So it's not saying like it's all doom and gloom or anything. It's just saying like, listen, there's something coming up and you need to take care of yourself and you need to make a few little changes here and there. But to be honest, I look at this and I don't see any huge changes for you. It says, you know, if you take care of yourself and you keep working on this project and going down the path you're going, you're going to get there. You're going to get where you need to go.
So if somebody wants to find you to get a tarot reading, where do they go?
Radiance Gifts, it's at 875 Corydon Avenue, Unit 7, and it is between Lilac and Stafford on Corydon. Sundays, 12:30 to 5. You can call ahead to book an appointment, or you can email me at my email address, which is enchantedparlor@hotmail.com.
Is that where they email you if they want to book you for a tarot party?
Yes, you can email me there as well. And with tarot parties, it is minimum of 5 guests. The host or hostess receives their reading for free. And then guests, it's $30 a person.
If we want to find your blog page and your YouTube page, where do we go?
The blog is www.enchantedparlor.blogspot.com. And YouTube, you can just look up Enchanted Parlor. That's the name of the channel. And you will find me.
And we'll put the links on to the show notes for this one, too. So look at the show notes for this episode if you need to link up to any of those pages and follow Lou there. Also give Lou a follow on Twitter. Again, it's Enchanted Parlor, PLR, on Twitter.
Yeah.
Follow her on Twitter at Enchanted Parlor. Again, Enchanted PLR, because Twitter won't let you have handles any larger than that. But I know that you post a lot on there with links to Tumblr and to YouTube and so on as well. So a number of ways to follow Lou. So thank you very much for doing this. I look forward to talking to you about my future. I'm going to come to you at work, I'm sure, over the next couple of weeks and be like, oh my God. Oh my God, it happened. So thank you.
Thank you for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
So there you have it. That was Louise Valcourt, also known as @EnchantedParlor, Enchanted PLR, over on Twitter. You can also check out her blog. That is enchantedparlor.blogspot.ca, or look up Enchanted Parlor on YouTube and you will find her channel there. She is at Radiance Gifts. That's at 875 Corydon Avenue, Unit 7. And she works there on Sundays from 12:30 to 5 doing tarot readings. If you want to book some time with her there, give Radiance Gifts a call, or you can email her at enchantedparlor@hotmail.com, and that can be for a one-on-one tarot reading. She also does tarot parties as well, so reach out to her there and get something set up. I would highly recommend doing it. To finish off today's episode, as usual, we're going to play the song from the band that you have heard throughout the episode, and this band is called Son of a Gun. They are from Chicago, Illinois. The album is No Bread, and you can find it over at sonofagun.bandcamp.com. And the song that we were listening to is called Accident. So we're going to play that one, and that will be that for this week. So thank you once again, everybody, for tuning in to Beyond the Handle, and have a great week.